They used to have a neat little thing right here that was level. You could put your water on. I don't know who took that down, but Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. He said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, let me reread that. When ye hear therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? The Lord instructs us that it is the one who ministers meat in due season to the household. Matthew 24:45. The Olivet prophecy was given that the disciples might prepare themselves for the day of the Lord's coming, and this required watchfulness, not so much for the signs of the world, but for the needs of the household. Bible prophecy is a means to an end. It is very desirable that we obtain a clear picture of the future involving God's plan to establish His glorious kingdom, but it is even more important that this vision will cause us to labor wisely and faithfully in our Lord's household. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Matthew 24:46. If you'd like to turn up Matthew 24, we'll be following that pretty much down the line from verses 1 through 31. The temple which Herod built was a magnificent structure which was built on the site of the ancient temple of Solomon. It is what is called by the Jews the Temple Mount, and today it has the Muslim mosque known as the Dome of the Rock, or correctly called El Aqsa Mosque, Aqsa, A-K-S-A. The platform on which Herod's temple was built towered above the Kedron Valley on the east and the main and north-south streets of Jerusalem that passed below the western wall, more than 100 feet below the platform. In order to construct the temple, Herod had a retaining wall built around the mountain, and then a platform was built on top of that to support the temple. None of the stones of the temple or of its foundation remain intact today. The few stones that can be seen constituting part of the wailing or western wall and the more recently excavated southwestern corner do not constitute any part of the temple. That is just the retaining wall itself. Thus, Christ's words in Matthew 24:2 have seen their fulfillment. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The time is yet to come when the entire mountain will be cleared off, and even this small section of the remaining wall will disappear forever. This is in preparation for the glorious temple as described by Ezekiel the prophet. As a result of Christ's words to both the Jewish rulers and to the multitudes, as recorded in the previous chapters, and now Christ's declaration in the second verse of chapter 24, that not only would the people be punished, but the temple itself would be destroyed, and Judah's commonwealth would come to an end. Christ's disciples asked the question of him about when these events, in verse 3, would take place. Jesus, seated on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the eastern wall of the temple, the disciples asked, "When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" In order to understand what is being asked, it is important to understand the nature of the questions and that the nature of the questions that the disciples asked. To do this, it is important to remember Jesus is speaking principally to the Jews concerning their nation, their city, their temple, and all these things that shall come upon this generation, that is, the generation of 70 AD. This prophecy deals with those events that were to affect the Jewish nation in two particular periods, principally the next 40 years, ending with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, and 2,000 years later with the regathering and rebirth of the nation under their Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Verses 1 through 29 of this chapter deal with the events leading up to the destruction of the temple and the end of Judah's commonwealth. Let's consider question 1. When shall these things be? Let's turn to Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Here, our Lord describes the destruction of the city at the hands of the Roman armies. Jesus used terms which resemble the judgment that was passed upon a leprous house in the final visitation of the inspecting priest, as outlined in Leviticus 14:44. Israel, as the house of Jacob, had become spiritually leprous, and therefore both they and their temple were to be treated according to the principles of the law of leprosy, as spoken of in Leviticus 14:33-57. Let's turn up Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye become to the land of Canaan, which I give to you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in the house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me that there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house, with hollow streaks, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the seventh day, and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city unto an unclean place. And they shall take other stones, and put them in the place of these stones, and he shall take other mortar, and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again, and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague is spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy, or a festering leprosy, according to the margin. It is a festering plague, be spread in. It is a fretting leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city unto an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house 2 birds and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and shall kill the one of the birds in the earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird. Let's see if I can get untangled here. And he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet and the living bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird and in the running water and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water and with the living bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields and make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. The law of leprosy specifically required that the owner of a leprous house had to first report it to the priest, who was to empty the house, inspect it, shut it up for 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest was to inspect the house the second time. And if the diagnosis of leprosy was confirmed, he was to remove and cast to an unclean place the offending stones and dust and mortar, and replace them with fresh stones and fresh mortar. That being accomplished, and the plague again reoccurring, he was to break down the house, the stones of it, the timber thereof, and all the mortar, and carry everything out of the city into an unclean place. The antitype applied to Israel as the house of Jacob. The owner was God, who, rising up early and sending his prophets, reported the condition of the house to successive priests. It was the duty of the priest to inspect the leprous house and then to empty it, but the priest's lack of concern made them unfit for the task, so it was left to a Gentile to do. Nebuchadnezzar became God's servant for that purpose at the time of the Babylonian invasion and captivity some 600 years before Christ. And we find this in 2 Chronicles 36. The law of leprosy required a second inspection on the seventh day, which finds its counterpart at the end of the 70 years captivity and the partial return of Jewry under Joshua, Zerubbabel, Haggai, and Malachi. Christ himself came and inspected the house of Jacob, and it was revealed that leprosy still clung to the house. Christ gave his verdict in Luke 19. Let's turn up Luke 19. Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thee, unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The type required that the leprous house should be broken up, that is, taken apart stone by stone, and dumped in an unclean place. This was done when the armies of Rome decimated Judea and Jerusalem in 70 AD, demolishing the temple and dispersing the people into the lands of the Gentiles. The literal destruction of the temple, then, was figurative of the greater event, which was the dissolution of the Jewish commonwealth and dispersion of its people. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:64 through 68. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even until the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see no more again. There ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. What shall be the sign of thy coming? In the New Testament, there are many different words which have been translated by the word coming. Even in this chapter, the word is not always the same. In the disciples' question, the word coming is the Greek word parousa. It literally means, in this case, a state of being nigh to or present. Dr. Thomas states in the last days of Judah's commonwealth, the Roman armies were the embodiment of the power of Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, for the destruction of the Jewish commonwealth. The Roman armies were the embodiment of the power of Jesus for the destruction of the Jewish commonwealth. So, where the Roman power was, there also was the anointed Prince Royal of Judah, whether he was visible to mortal eyes or not. He worked through the Roman army and came in their coming, but as to his visible personal presence, there is no testimony or eyewitness extent to prove it. However, Jesus did teach his disciples to expect him before they had finished the work that he gave them to do. This work was to preach the gospel of the kingdom as his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the land. And this is outlined in Acts 1:8. But he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Matthew 10:23. Christ plainly taught that he would come in the lifetime of the apostles. However, not all of them. For Christ plainly told Peter that he should die by crucifixion before that coming. Let's look at John 21. John 21, starting at the 18th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Speaking to Peter. This is also, Peter also treats this subject in 1 Peter 1:13. Peter 1, verses 13 and 14. Upon hearing Peter's fate, if you will, he inquired, How should it be with John? To which Christ replied, That John should remain until he, that is Christ, came. Let's look at John 21, verses 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that unto thee? Follow thou me. Now some of the brethren understood by this that John should not die. But John himself corrects this notion by telling his readers that in so speaking, Jesus did not say that he should not die. Therefore, the only interpretation can be that John should not die before the Lord of the vineyard should come through the Roman armies to take the kingdom of God from the chief priests, scribes, and the people who put Christ to death. This would be done before the survivors of the 12 could have preached in all the cities of Israel. In coming this way, the Son of Man came to his kingdom. He invaded it with the host given to the little horn of Daniel 8. And when the apostles who remained saw Jerusalem encompassed thereby, they saw the coming of the Lord to wrest the kingdom from his enemies. Question 3. And of the end of the world. There are three different words translated world in the New Testament, and each one of these occurs once in Matthew 24. Here in verse 3, the word aeon, which means an age or dispensation of time, like the word parousia referred to in question 2, the expression end of the aeon is exclusive to Matthew among the gospel writers. Dr. Thomas also states the last days of Judah's commonwealth, the aeon referred to, was that current order or course of things. This course is referring to the Mosaic cosmos. A cosmos is anything constituted or arranged by what may be called a constitution, such as a kingdom, empire, state, or what is called world. Each of these has its course so that when the end of the course is arrived at, the taking away or destruction of the particular state takes place. This is equivalent to what the sign this is equivalent to what is the sign of the end of Judah's commonwealth, or when should the Mosaic aeon terminate? Turn back to Matthew 24. 15th verse. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. The 15th verse is brought out in Luke 21:20. When ye shall see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The believers of that day were to fix their attention on Jerusalem for the sign of the Lord's coming through the Roman army. Daniel 9:27 speaks of the coming of the little horn of the goat's army and their gathering together around the city. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured upon the desolate. When this occurred, the disciples were to know that the Lord had come, although invisible to the eye of flesh, and that the work he had come to do through the Roman army was that was defined in Daniel 8, 11, and 12. Let me turn that up real quick, Daniel 8. Daniel 8, 11. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Daniel 9:26 makes it clear that the armies of Rome were in fact the armies of Messiah the Prince, who had come to pass judgment upon that nation and city which had rejected him. The carcass of Matthew 24:28 represents the condition of Israel at the time of the Roman invasion and is very meaningful symbol. Deuteronomy 28:49 states, The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Turn back to Matthew 24. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The important word in verse 29 is immediately. This indicates that the events described in this verse will be a result of the invasion of the Roman eagles. The Jewish heavens and earth, symbolizing both the ruling and ruled classes in society, would be extinguished, and the prominent rulers, represented by stars, would fall from their positions of power. John 14:29 states, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Christ gave the believers signs of things to come, that they might be warned, just as he does in our time. In verse 29, Christ plainly tells them the constellation of the Mosaic system was to be destroyed, and when they saw these things begin to happen, to get out of Judea and Jerusalem, for those that chose to stay would perish like the Mosaic commonwealth. Those that left would save their lives by heeding the sign. Even though this was a bleak picture, Christ did not leave them without hope. I'll try to see if I can avoid another collision with my tongue and my front teeth. Matthew 24:29 commences with the word immediately, while verse 30 simply states, "and then." A period of nearly 2,000 years separates verse 29 from verse 30. Verse 29 speaks of the end of Judah's commonwealth in 70 AD, and in verse 30, the next event involving Jewry is reconstituting the commonwealth when the Son of Man returns with the clouds of heaven. In this context, clouds equals saints. When we see happenings in the Jewish heavens, we are to know that the return of Jesus to the earth is very near. Jewish heavens, although not the new heavens in which will dwell righteousness, have emerged before our very eyes. These events tell us that the desolation and downtrending is ending, and the time to favor Zion is near. The elect of Matthew 31 does not refer to the saints, because they are described in the previous verse under the symbol of the clouds. The word elect, or chosen, has been used for both natural as well as spiritual Israel. In this place, it refers to Israel after the flesh, who after their period of downtreading by the Gentiles will be gathered from the four winds. This refers to the post-adventual gathering of Israel. The angels refer to those messengers who, under the leadership of Elijah, will assist in regathering the tribes of Israel from back to the Holy Land from where they are scattered. The angels will consist of some of the Jewish people saved from battle and styled the refined third of Judah. Thus, the great sound of the trumpet, Matthew 24:31, will call Israel out of the wilderness of the people, during which period the rebels will be purged out from the tribes of Israel, and judgment will be poured out upon the Gentile nations. Thank you.